Kane is in the building.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it is time for Top 5, Bottom 5. We go Top 5 first, as we have done 2 weeks of the NFL. Still a little early to really sort of get things kind of concrete, like who's really good, who's really bad, because, you know, there's opponents that you play. Nevertheless, we go 5-1.
Yeah, but why not?
Why not? This is what we do. Let's go to 5-1. I have the Green Bay Packers at number 5, 2-0. And rolling along nicely, but beating two teams that are not very good in the Lions and the Vikings, although the Vikings were projected to be good in week one. They beat the Lions without a huge day from Aaron Rodgers. But Devontae Adams has got a hamstring injury, but nevertheless, they've got a plus 30 differential so far this season. They are first in rushing yards, so they're number 5 on my list.
I would have had the Packers in. If anything, I would make them 5B on my list, because
right?
I decided, you know what? I haven't said this team in a long time. I put the Cardinals at 5.
Hey, well
Why
done.
Not?
Well done. I actually thought about them, too.
They may not be around that much longer, but this is a fun team to watch right now.
We did that with the team last year. I wish I could remember where early we were all in, and then they kind of went by the wayside.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, we gave them credit whenever it was deserved.
When it was due.
You're right. I toyed with that thought. I was like, oh, Green Bay's number one in points. I know it's only 2 weeks, but I got to
put it on. I figured, you know, I know Packers are going to be in the top 5 probably next week.
Yeah. But Arizona's a fun team, man. This is a team we said in the beginning of the season, watch out for.
They are.
They're a tough division. So number 4 on my list is where I put the Steelers. Listen, I have a trouble as a fan because I'm trying to be really analytical when it comes to this team, but I get a little emotional and I get a little at times. They should have put this Broncos team away early. I mean, really should have. I mean, especially with Drew Lock out, and they let the Broncos hang around just a little too long. But here's the thing: this defense is really good. This defense is really, really good. Ben Roethlisberger is starting to find a receiver. Chase Claypool looks like he'll be a good pickup for them as a rookie. The running game between Benny Snell and James Conner is still iffy for me. But again, I like this defense a lot, so I have them as 4.
I have the Steelers here too.
Oh, good.
Out of my top 5 last week, this week I have them up there. It's unfair how the Steelers defense keeps reinventing itself.
It can
it
be.
Really
it
is unfair.
Yeah, I agree.
When you have a healthy Roethlisberger who, you know, is making Schuster the next, Hines Ward the next, Antonio Brown, that too is unfair.
Yep, exactly.
And that's what's happening.
Yeah, and again, I like the way the offense looks at times, but I like the defense better, so Pittsburgh's at 4. My number 3 team is Seattle. I think beating the New England Patriots with Cam Newton is still important. I still think it's good. It's not, you know, Cam Newton is, look, he's no Brady in that respect, but it's still the New England Patriots. And Russell Wilson with 5 touchdown passes. Look, I mean, it's time to start looking at an MVP situation for Russell Wilson. I'm getting sick and tired of hearing how he hasn't gotten even a vote. Like, it's about time somebody gives him a vote. Come on.
It's not a good look.
No.
I have Seattle here at 3 as well. I mean, it is a different Patriots team, but it's still, you know, the hoodie is still on that side.
It's still, you're right.
He still drafts up a good game
plan.
Right. And it's the fact that they were able to hold out in a close game, in a primetime game.
Listen,
with all the eyes watching. I mean, I know there's no fans in the stands, but still, those players know that everyone is watching Sunday Night Football.
And that play, again, that Collier made tackling Cam Newton was a great defensive play. I mean, it was a great defensive play. It's not Malcolm Butler intercepting you at the 1 yard line of the Super Bowl, but it's a really, really good 1 yard play against a guy that normally gets into the end zone.
But it did give Seahawk fans some validation of, like, see, that's why you don't run in that situation.
Yes, exactly, right. It's so true. That's so true. So Seattle is 3 for both or both of us. Number two. All right. I went back and forth on this.
I think you and I think we have the same top two, so I'm curious.
All right. I put the Kansas City Chiefs at number two. I know. Look. Look, going on the road is tough in the NFL, but it's an overtime win against a rookie quarterback. It should have been a little bit more easy than that. But nevertheless, Kansas City's Kansas City, and they're fantastic in a thousand ways. And Harrison Butker's 58-yard field goal was just a thing of beauty. But I like the number one team slightly more than I do the Kansas City Chiefs right now. So Kansas City is two.
All right, well, I've flip-flopped them. Right. I have Ravens at two.
All right.
And there's no real reason. I mean, literally, when you look at these two teams, it's 1A and 1B.
Absolutely.
And how did Monday night get this right for next week?
I know.
I didn't have a clue until I saw that graphic. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Well, if you're going to...
I didn't look ahead of the schedule.
Yeah. Well, in terms of the scheduling, since they were on a collision course to play, you would put it on Monday night.
Well, I thought for sure it'd be a Sunday night. I thought the NFL was moving more towards Sunday night games.
I would have done it.
Monday night had dog games for how many years in a row? Now they're finally getting some decent ones. I can't wait for Monday night.
I know. Frank Schwab said it best. If you're a football fan, you do not miss this game.
Yeah, I have the Ravens here. They've had two quality wins. Dismantling making the Texans look like a pedestrian team. That was impressive.
Yeah, it was impressive.
But
that was impressive.
Number one for me is the Chiefs because of Mahomes.
Yeah,
that's really what it comes down to. I mean, they have, they're good on both sides of the ball, but Mahomes is that X factor, I think, a little bit more over Lamar Jackson at this point.
I'm looking at it from a standpoint of this is an offense that's scoring over 35 points per game, and their defense is only allowing 11. I know it's 2 weeks in the season, believe me, and I know they're playing the Browns, but the Texans... Look, even without DeAndre Hopkins, that's still that was a playoff team last year, and they dismantled them and made them look like, again, a team that is on the downward step. And I think Kansas City is going to spend more weeks at number one than Baltimore. This is the week I'm sticking the Ravens as one.
So you're kind of doing the Ravens how I did the Cardinals.
Kind of the same way. Exactly. All right, coming up, we'll have the bottom five, the worst of the worst of the NFL. But before we do, hey, not all face masks offer the same protection. Boomer Naturals 3-layer comfortable breathable masks are available in sizes for adults, teens, and children. And now they're available at CVS Pharmacy. You can head in there, you ask for Boomer Naturals masks, and you're going to get a mask that's very comfortable, very breathable, and has got the nano silver technology. It can block tiny drops and particles from getting to your nose and mouth. Recent U.S. lab testing shows Boomer masks are 99.9% antimicrobial, big deal. So stop by your local CVS pharmacy today. Ask for Boomer Naturals Nano Silver Masks and Gaiters, or you can go to boomernaturals.com and check them out online. Again, for breathable, Nano Silver Enhanced Protective Face Mask, Boomer Naturals has you covered. All right, coming up next, the worst of the worst after 2 weeks of the NFL, our bottom five as we continue on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Superstart batteries exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts, designed to meet the electrical demands of today's vehicles. Get dependable power and performance from a Superstart battery for your car, truck, motorcycle, lawnmower, boat, and more. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts today. The professional parts people can help you find the right battery for your vehicle. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com. Better parts, better prices every day. The worst of the worst after 2 weeks of the NFL season. Let's start 28 all the way down to 32. My number 28 team, the Atlanta Falcons. You stink. You stink. You stink. You blew a big lead on the road against a team that was pretty much handing you this game, and you didn't know you could pick up the football within the first 10 yards of an onside kick. You're terrible. You choke. You're bad. You're 28. But I don't put you lower than that because you still have Julio Jones, you still have Calvin Ridley, and you still have Matt Ryan. So you're not all that terrible as a roster, but the sum of the parts still means you stink. 28 for you, Atlanta.
I have the Falcons at 28 as well. You can't cough up that lead. Come on.
Not 15 points in the final 5 minutes.
Especially when you're a team notorious for coughing up a lead late in the game.
You would think Arthur Blank would have a memo that says, we do not blow big leads ever again from now on forever.
Hey, I'll do you one better. You would think Dan Quinn would have it tattooed on his arm right now.
Right.
Just every time he starts to panic, looks down and goes 28-3. No, we got to do something about this.
Yeah. Remember what we did down at the Super Bowl? We're never doing that again.
I mean, listen, we know that their coaches are going to be on the hot seat. We talk about Dan Quinn every single year. I don't know how he manages to save his job. I don't know. If he loses next week, that's got to be it.
I think so, too. I mean, if I'm a Falcons fan, I'm like, why do I even bother with the rest of the season? I mean, it was ridiculous. Yeah. Absolutely ridiculous.
Like the Falcons are playing like the Panthers or something. I mean,
yeah,
they're playing a weak team. They got to do it.
Number 30 on my – no, I'm sorry, 29 on my list is Miami. All right, listen, I'm not going to be – I'm not hurting Miami here, but they are in the bottom five. They could be better. The home loss to a Buffalo team that might win the division is not terrible. Losing on the road to New England that might win the division is not terrible. But they are a bottom five team. They're not a very, very good football team at all. They're just not the worst team in the NFL. But they are in the bottom five.
Yeah, no, I agree. I have them later on. Was it 29?
29.
This is where I have the Eagles.
Ah, I was ready to put the Eagles there.
I have the Eagles here. Here's the issue, here's a very telltale sign. Doug Peterson yesterday said he doesn't know why Carson Wentz has regressed.
Right.
That, I believe, is a huge problem. Because last year, you could blame it on the fact that they literally had no wide receivers.
Yes,
I mean, they literally had none. Now, you got everyone you need. And still yet, you can't figure this out. It's not a good team right now.
No, it's not a very good team at all. I mean, he gets sacked a lot. I mean, they're just
seven or eight times last week.
Yeah, the team gives up a ton of points.
They do.
A ton of points.
I mean, albeit, you know, they played decent teams.
Right. I mean, well, they played Washington. And then they played the Rams as a very good team.
Rams are a good team.
Right.
You know, but I mean, yeah, I guess Washington doesn't count.
Right. Well, your division-leaning football team.
Yeah, it's true.
But I'm with you. I probably should have put the Eagles there. I did not. 30 on my list, I put the Lions. This is very disappointing again. And boy, I feel bad for Matthew Stafford in a way. I mean, this is just another blah season for, I think, is a talented quarterback. It's just not talented enough. But I feel like we load them up with a few weapons, or we feel like they've got some good things or some good players in certain positions, and they find a way to lose. They find a way not to be good, right? And that's troublesome.
No, it is.
You know, their tight end, like T.J. Hockenson, remember what a steal he was going to be?
And yes.
Remember that? I mean, it's like another weapon for Matt Stafford. Well, they stink.
See, I left him out of my bottom five. I was very close to putting them in. But I felt bad for Stafford because this team literally should be 1-1.
Sure, it should be. Yeah,
you know, Swift comes down with that catch. They
win that game.
We're talking about the Lions losing last week like it's normal.
They've lost 11 in a row going back to last season.
Yikes!
I mean, come on. I mean, Matt Patricia, come on, man.
Yeah, that's another coach. I would say
it's another Belichick tree disaster. Is this? I mean, God.
Well, and then somehow they have longevity.
I know, right?
I don't know how that works. I mean, I gave them a pass this week because they did play against the Packers. I mean, they looked inept against the Packers, but the Packers are the Packers.
But it's about time somebody figures out.
Yes, very true.
How this is going to go down, because it can't last forever. You know, I know you want to stick with a guy that's got a Belichick brain trust a little bit, like a 6 degrees of separation here. But after a while, you got to cut ties. Who's your 30?
At 30, this is where I had the Dolphins.
Dolphins, okay.
And it's, you know, I feel bad. It's not really anything the Dolphins, I think, are doing. It's just, you know, hey, you guys still don't look good. you still look like you're not in tank mode. I'm not going to say they're in tank mode, but it still feels like, you know, maybe you're in tank mode still.
Well, yeah, right. I mean, I don't think they're in tank mode because they got the guy they wanted last year. But at the same time, if you're the management, right, and you've got Tua, and he's still iffy with the hip and injury. I think you would say, look, we're going to go with Ryan Fitzpatrick until we feel like Tua can be in there effective and learn. rather than throw him out to in a bad team, semi-hurt, just to throw him out there. Be very careful what step you go with Tua going down the road, right? You don't want to lose him to this awful football team, like to injury or to no confident. But you also can't keep him like on the bench forever.
Yeah.
Like, eventually he's got to play.
I felt like giving him a break. Because of the fact that, you know, they played against the Patriots, they played against the Bills, you know, two teams that are predicted to be good this year.
Right, right.
But at the same time, I mean, Josh Allen had a career year. I don't think Josh Allen is ready to have a career day yet.
No.
Is at that point in his career where he has that much control over the game. Maybe he does. Maybe I'm just not seeing something in Josh Allen yet. You know, I mean, it's kind of weird that, you know, out of that quarterback class that came out that season, I mean, obviously Lamar Jackson's number one. Josh Allen might be two.
Josh Allen, I mean, he is coming off a 4-touchdown game.
Yeah, I mean, over Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, that's right.
Josh Allen's just sitting there.
And the one thing, which this is what you want to do with, this is what you want with a quarterback, a young guy as a quarterback. The whole perception of the Bills, I know they've improved in a lot of areas, is changed because it starts at the quarterback and trickles down. That's what you're hoping. Do you have a young guy that comes in and shows that he can win some games and shows that he can play well? And Allen has kind of done that a little bit here. I mean, again, probably his best game was against Miami.
Yeah.
But the Dolphins are there for you. 31 for me is the Giants.
Okay.
All right, here's the deal with the Giants. All right, and I know Barkley being out is a big deal. Daniel Jones won his first game out of the gate last year, played Tampa. Well, the Buccaneers missed a field goal. Daniel Jones ran it in for a touchdown. And they won that game. That was his debut. Eli Manning benched for that game. They won the next week against Washington. Then they went on a massive losing skid, won a couple of games to close out the season, and now he's 0-2 to start the season. Jones has got to get better. All right, Jones has got to get better. But this right now is a team that's got to figure out, now that Barkley's out, what do we do? You know, it's same with Michael Thomas and the Saints. You can't just replace him with whoever's next up, right? It's got to be, you know, Wayne Gallman, Deion Lewis are the two guys that are going to get some more carries in that backfield. But it is a matter of, all right, we have got to find a way to replace him. We've got to do it by committee. We'll do it by committee. But it starts with our quarterback. He's going to have to figure out a way to do this. So, Giants, you're 31.
And I have the Giants here as well. My big issue with them is that you cannot make Mitch Trubisky look like an elite quarterback.
Right.
and give Mitch Trubisky that confidence and that swagger of walking around like he is an elite quarterback. That's right. Not allowed. We all know that this is a year Mitch Trubisky needs to prove himself. You Giants, you don't need to help him out along the way.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. I agree. Saquon Barkley being out, it's going to be a huge blow to the Giants. What are they going to do to replace him? Because there are very few teams out there that have a plug-and-play system. In fact, right. I can only think of one. Now, their head coach is a product of that plug-and-play system, but they're not going to find a Saquon Barkley just sitting on the bench and say, hey, you know what, you're up. That's not going to happen.
Right. And you know that right now they're last in rushing and their leading rusher is their quarterback. Right.
Yes.
So you're going to need a guy like, I'm not saying you need a Saquon Barkley replacement, but you're going to need a running game that sort of fills the gap a little bit.
Listen, on my fantasy football team is terrible right now. I'm looking for another running back. I know that there's two giant running backs available. There's not a way I'm touching them.
I know, right.
Because I think Daniel Jones will be the leading rusher all season long. And if I can put Daniel Jones at my running back position, then I'm going to do it.
All right, bottom team, number 32 in the league. I don't think it's a question.
No.
It's the Jets.
J-E-T-S.
They're awful.
The Niners lost half their team.
I know. Their team.
And they can only get 6 points.
An 80-yard touchdown in the first play of the game. What was it, 3rd and 33?
Yeah, I asked
Jake. And they
get
a 50-yard touchdown. Now, I mean, a 50-yard run for a first down.
Jake is our resident Jets fan.
Yes.
And I did ask him. I said, hey, what run hurt more, the 80-yard or the 3rd and 31? He did say the 80-yard one because you had time to prepare before the game.
Right. It's the opening play of the game.
I mean, that's how you start off the game. You said the 3rd and 31, you know, they were all dropped back.
Yeah.
You could
makes sense.
But not really. The guy ran it.
You can't
pass.
Listen, at some point, right? As soon as the guy has the ball and he's running, right? When he crosses the line of scrimmage, everybody should be in pursuit of the guy running the ball, right?
I mean, you would think.
Right? You think there should be any huge open spaces for you to gain 50 yards on a run.
Unless you have a defensive back going, oh, he still might throw it. I'm going to stick to my receiver way out here on the side.
See, the Niners ran the play with Mozart at the beginning of the game, and there was potential that it could be a touchdown. That run on 3rd and 31 wasn't designed to pick up a first down.
No.
It was designed to run time off the clock so that we could get the punt unit on.
And
it was just an added bonus that they got a first down.
And maybe gain a few yards so right. The punter's not punting.
Gain a few
so
yards,
deep.
Right? Just, you know, just gain a few yards, see what happens. It wasn't meant to be a first down.
Man, the punter, he was ready. He was already warming up on the sideline, and then all of a sudden he sees the run. He's like, well, I guess I don't need my helmet.
We are so
sit back down.
So far away from the Mark Sanchez days, man.
Oh, God. I mean, you know, I think the Jet fan would take that back right now.
I'm right there with
how
you,
man. Does, I mean, Adam Gase, he's got to let go.
Got to be let go. He's in over his head. He can't do this.
He doesn't know what he's doing.
Can't do this. Couldn't do it in Miami. Can't do it here.
I mean, we're at a point right now where we're looking at Sam Darnold like, okay, when are we replacing Sam Darnold?
I know.
And it's not
bad.
His fault. You're not doing anything.
No, he's not
to
his
help
fault.
Him. You're not
putting a team around him. You're not doing anything.
It's just you're on a terrible team, Sam.
He's not growing. He's not growing under that leadership.
Sam's wishing he could get mono again.
I know. Get me off this train. That's the top five, bottom five after week two of the NFL. Coming up, Will Gray, golfchannel.com. And we'll talk about the U.S. Open, what it means for the Masters with Bryson DeChambeau as a major championship winner. That is next as we continue Wake Up Call. Sports Map Radio Network.